Welcome to the Let's Talk Talent podcast with your host, Tyler Rossi. This is your one-stop shop for how to recruit, retain, and develop the right talent that will take your organization to the next level. Hear from some of the most sought-after talent acquisition experts as we discuss what it takes to attract and assemble the world's highest performing teams. So sit back, relax, maybe take some notes, and let's talk talent.
Our next guest is Benjamin Mena, Managing Director at Select Source Solutions. Hope I got that right. And a popular host of the Elite Recruiter podcast, which is a podcast that really introduced me to the world of recruiting. He's interviewed some of the most successful seven-figure billers out there, great recruitment entrepreneurs. And I'm so interested in terms of what you have to say, Ben, because usually you're on the other side of the page here.
I think it's kind of funny because like I'm so used to the one like asking the questions and just sitting back and just like, all right, cool. Oh, that's awesome. Let me take some notes. So definitely, Tyler, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, the interviewer gets interviewed. So we'll see how this goes. So Ben, I'm going to start my podcast off the same way you start yours off. How did you get into recruiting?
So like many people, we all kind of stumble into this wonderful world of recruiting. My stumbling actually started off because I wanted to join the military. And okay. That was my goal in college, was to become a Chinese economic military intel analyst. Okay. You know, fast forward, met some people in the space. They said that it probably isn't going to be the best for you since you enjoy this thing called talking and we're not allowed to talk. So got to meet some other recruiters, you know, coming out of college, and picked up some mentors and talked about the impact of mentorship. They actually told me to go to a staffing agency to learn the dark art and the skills of recruiting. And you're going to love this. Got some offers from different staffing agencies. And like, this is 2006. I got an offer to work from home remotely in 2006.
Wow. As a recruiter. Okay. So you're not patient zero, but basically ground zero for remote work. I've never heard of that in 2006.
My mentor told, and oh, you're gonna love this, and it paid a higher base salary. My mentor told me to turn that job. It was a smaller boutique staffing agency.
They're ahead of the game. Salute to you.
But my mentor told me to turn them down because I had also an offer at Aerotech where they had a much lower base salary, a worse commission structure, and I had to be in the office every day. And she's like, No. I know you, Ben. Like, the dream is the remote job, but they didn't have the structure to teach and train. It was going to be kind of like, figure it out for yourself. And I think at that point in time, there wasn't things like podcasts and YouTube. And at that point in time, LinkedIn only had like a million people on there. So
that's crazy.
If it didn't have the structure. And so like, she saw my future and did a great job. If I went that route, I probably would not be a recruiter today. I went and got the structured Aerotech with a lower pay, worse hours. But the training that I learned there has made a huge impact on my personal career. Even though they almost fired me like two months in. That's a whole other story.
We'll have to get into that a little bit. But okay, you actually bring up a very good point. So I'm a huge remote work advocate. I think it's provided so much benefits for me and my family in terms of mentally not having to suffer through a commute. Physically, I've had time to go to the gym. I've had time to go on walks with my dog, all this great stuff, right? Just went outside for a nice walk in the sun. It's like 77 degrees here at end of October in Connecticut, which is rare. But no, I think for early professionals, you know, I was in the office to start my career out in sales at Indeed when I was there. And I could tell you, definitely, I mean, if I didn't learn from those around me through the osmosis of hearing other people on the phone, how they talk, how they answer objections, right? I was just doing that from my own silo as a beginner. I think I would probably be a lot further back. But that's actually a good point. Do you think that, you know, while remote work is great for people just joining the workforce, is it better to be like in an office environment, getting that osmosis?
So the one thing I will say is technology is much different now than it was back in like 2006. Like there is now things Zoom, there's so many different pieces of technology where you can easily connect with people remotely. Yeah. Back then it was literally just the phone. So if you're able to get on the technology bandwagon, I think you can have an impact. But like early career, like I get it. Like remote work is amazing. Like we go off to France and enjoy a few weeks. So we move our office to France, typically multiple times a year. Nice. But like to learn some of those skill sets, if you're not in the office, you need to fight for a way to get that training and fight for a way to get around people. Mm-hmm. And you can do that digitally. You can do that through podcasts. You can do that through interviews and books, but most people aren't taking those additional extra steps. So there is power in being in the office, especially if you're early career. And there's also power if you're building a team too, but there's tons of benefits if you're working remote. So I love working remote, but for me, I had to get that structure, and that's what helped my career.
Yeah, I could totally understand that. Okay, so let's go into the AeroTech days. So you said that it did benefit you. You learned a lot. Tell us what you learned, how that shaped you as a recruiter, and then touch on the almost firing there, because that's not
so
easy.
So one of the things, like when you think about recruiting, you think like you're helping people. Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, you are helping people, but you can't help everybody. Mm. And my early days of recruiting, they were just like, you know, at the end of the day, what do you get paid to do? You get paid to place people. You don't get paid to mow somebody's grass or like help them walk their dog. And I'm just like throwing those things out there, but you're okay, I can help you with your resume. I can help do this. But at the end of the day, like it's time consuming and you get paid in recruiting to make placements. So I was trying to be nice on the phone. And finally, about 2 months in, they pulled me into the office. They're like, you suck as a recruiter. Like you're horrible. Like nobody wants you on your team. Like no account manager wants you to work on their recs because you absolutely suck at recruiting. But the one thing that we're not firing you yet because you hit every single metric we give you. Hmm. We give you a number. We tell you to make these calls. You just go do it day in and day out. Like other people are that at the point in time, they weren't hitting their call numbers. I would just sit there and like, I'd hit my 75 and it'd be like, but you said, if I hit 75 calls a day, I'm going to start making placements. Like, so I was like, putting in the work. I was putting in the work and they were like, what the hell's wrong with you? There's no placements coming out of you.
What are you talking about on the phone?
Yeah. I'm like, and I'm a call, like I was a college athlete. So I know how to like, if you tell me what work I need to do, I will go do the work.
Yeah.
I just had to learn how to the dark arts of everything else that goes with recruiting.
Mm.
And that's what, after they like said, like, hey, we want to get rid of you. I was like, well, every week AeroTech sent out a list of like all the top 10 recruiters in every single industry. Mm-hmm. So I started calling them. I'm like, what are you doing? That is making you successful. Like, how are you successful? And they're like, well, I'm doing this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, I feel like I'm doing this. Well, how are you phrasing this? What are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, so I started in these conversations, and I'm so grateful for these people because this was pre-LinkedIn. This was pre-Zoom. Like these are after hours calls. They'd spend time with me. And I started emulating the things that these top producers are doing. And that helped me become a top producer at AeroTech before I left.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into that a little bit, because the audience for this podcast is mainly going to be hiring managers and recruiters. So you're taking notes from the top performers at AeroTech to improve your standing, which you did. Is there any concrete examples that you can give, whether it's verbiage, whether it's how you approach the marketing of a role initially or dealing with negotiations, whatever it is, anything that really clicked and that was like an instant game changer once you implemented?
I think one of the biggest things was like looking at the end in mind. Like the goal was to make the placement, and it was like leading the conversation to get there, but also making sure that you have the best candidate and it's going to be the best fit. Mm. So it's not like, you know, one of the things when you're recruiting, you're reaching out to so many people. It's everything is a numbers game.
Yeah.
But maybe I think I was trying to fit. If the first person that said yes, I would try to fit them in. No, I had to learn how to find the best and then give them, talk about the mission of and the opportunity theirs and how it benefit their career and how it would actually benefit, not just, you know, lying to them, how like figure out where they're at and how this would be a great benefit and create that match. And with that, great placements, happy candidates turn into more placements. And it became a snowball effect there.
Gotcha. Okay. So now You've pivoted from Aerotech. You've graduated. You now are the managing director at Select Source Solutions, specializing in government contracting space, right?
Yep. GovCon. Funnest industry out there.
Gotta love it. All right. So that's a big jump, right? Kind of like a Michael Jordan story, right? Almost cut from the high school basketball team, but then goes pro there. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what you've learned over the years now, and then, you know, what you're doing at Select Source Solutions that, okay, you know, helps your clients see results.
Well, let me tell you how I got to Select Source, and that might actually help.
Probably would.
So at Aerotech, I was initially a construction management headhunter.
Okay.
Fast forward, 2006, 2007, what happened to the economy, especially in construction? So we pivoted over to aviation. And then I wanted to get into GovCon. I wanted to, would write down every day, in 5 to 10 years, I'm going to be a government contracting recruiter. So I would do my work during the day for the account manager that I had. Then after hours, I would start calling other Aerotech offices across the country, start working on other managers' recs that were in government contracting.
Okay.
So I created my own book of business and created my own success story when it came to GovCon stuff. So fast forward, Aerotech, I personally opened up a big account. It made Aerotech millions of dollars. As soon as I opened it up, they redrew the territory and got it exited out of my territory. And after that, I was kind of whatever. So ended up going internal. So I was an internal recruiter. I went to the dark side, internal for a good decade plus. But here's the thing, there's a lot of awesome power being an internal recruiter. You get the hand-on work with managers, hand-on put together teams. Yeah. I've literally supported just about every government agency out there, including the very scary ones. I've worked on every position out there. I've put together teams across the globe. I've put together stuff teams that you literally see it in the news and you're like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I hired the guys that are doing that. Supported that. Yeah. So there's power in going and being an internal recruiter, as long as you understand the value that you brought to every single team and how you were a business partner. And if you want a good laugh, Tyler, had a little bit of a situation like you.
Let's elaborate. Yeah.
So I was on my first vacation, just put together a 500 something million dollar government contract, built out that team and started working on some new stuff. I got in a conversation. I was like, hey, if we do that, it's going to be out public and you guys don't want it to be out public. And they're like, well, you have to do it right now. And I'm like, but you're going to this blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Fast forward, they were like, came back and said, I shouldn't have gone public. You did everything right. You're our best recruiter, but you're just unfortunately going to be collateral damage. And we're going to let you go. We have to let you go. Well, I'm in France. And they're like, can you give us your laptop back? Ship the laptop back. And I'm like, if you guys pay for it, I'm in France right now. And they're like, well, we're not going to pay for it. I'm like, well, guess what? You're not getting your laptop. You're going to wait until I'm back for my vacation.
Right.
But, we were, I was kind of like you. I was in some groups doing some learning, reading books, chatting with other recruiters, setting up the structure for when we were going to jump. We just ended up jumping into our own firm before we planned for this. So, luckily foundation was already built, company was already set up. And because of all the work that we've done in the GovCon space, and GovCon stands for government contracting, we were able to quickly start picking up clients that were referrals of that knew just the work that we've put in for years.
Good. Yeah, that's definitely the way to go. And I appreciate you shedding some light on that. So, okay. So now you've gotten into that GovCon space. You had that goal. You've made your way into it. What are your advice for any hiring managers or recruiters in the GovCon space? What have you noticed with candidates? What makes the top performers want to come work for you?
I'll be honest. It's one of the biggest things. It's mission and money.
Mission and money.
So if you're in this space, there are so many intricacies that make it difficult. But at the end of the day, a lot of these people understand what they do every single day has an impact on every American citizen.
Yeah.
So it's one of the reasons why many people are in the space, or you get pulled into the space is it's a mission bigger than yourself. So hiring managers, which many of the time suck at doing this, you got to share the mission of, to these candidates in these interviews. Because remember, they're also interviewing you too. Like there are plenty of positions out there.
Yep.
But you gotta people want to be part of a mission, mm-hmm. even if it's sometimes a little less money.
Yeah. I think that transcends industries too. Absolutely. Yeah. I think especially with the younger generation too, we find that, you know, the having meaning and having mission behind what you're doing is really what's gonna keep your heart and your soul attached to an organization. The money, if someone's paying a dollar extra down the street and if you're just recruiting people based on money, that could go away tomorrow. But if you could attach your employees and yourself to the mission, that's really important. Our previous guest actually said that's something that's very big at their healthcare organization. So I think it does kind of transcends industries here. Okay. And then, so you've worked with almost, you know, a lot of big players in the space. That's what they need to do to draw in better talent, but what do they need to do to keep them, right? Because recruiting is really important, but what would you say is the number one reason that they see turnover?
I'd say one of the biggest things is just managers need to care. Yeah. I know and it's not just hey, how's it going? It's and which caring remotely is even harder than caring in person. But, a lot of these people are in the office, but it's, reminding them about the mission, showing that they're part of the mission, showing that they're part of the company, showing that they're making an impact. There's nothing worse than at the end of the day, going through multiple months of stressful work and time period and just, all right, cool, on to the next thing. And nobody cares about, the nights that you stayed up late, the nights that you didn't get to see your family, the nights because some of these missions are hardcore critical stuff, insane stuff. Recognize that.
Yeah.
Recognize the things that your people are going through to get the mission accomplished. And my God, it's the managers that spend time recognizing and caring and empathy while still looking at the bottom line are the ones that are keeping their team together. And the crazy thing about the GovCon space is how the government contracts work. You're going to see these people again for multiple times across your career. So make that impact now, because trust me, you're going to need those people on another government contract and another program down the road, and they're going to remember you as a manager.
That's a very good point. So when you're speaking with candidates, do you get the sense that they don't feel appreciated by their manager for the work that they're doing? Is that really what's causing them to be open to new opportunities?
Well, yes and no. So government contracting really is a very complex, extremely complex staffing company. At the end of the day, that's what most government contracts are.
Yeah.
Like the Lockheeds, the Raytheons, you name this. It's just complex staffing procedure to work with the federal government. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, because it's so complex, because there's so many things and so many different layers and hundreds of pages of proposals and you name it, going to the government, at the end of the day, a lot of these managers, because they're handling all this other stuff, everything turns into a butts and seats, and that's the only thing that matters, which the government, many times, that's the only thing that matters to them. But it's making sure that you're taking off the butts and seats hat and focusing on being a great leader hat.
Absolutely, for sure. And such a pivotal space to recruit in, especially in the times that we're in now. Ben, I have to ask this question. So a lot of talk about UFOs, things going on. Have you placed anyone in a position to work on a UFO?
Not a UFO. I've done some stuff with directed energy weapons, space weapons, stuff. If you want a good laugh, we've even had positions where we're not allowed to see a job description. Huh. We're not allowed to know where it's at.
Oh man.
But we need
But I need somebody.
Yeah.
If you can recruit for that, you can recruit for anyone. So that's
yeah.
Wow. So yeah. Interesting projects. Go on.
And there's some non-classified material out there that we can look at to kind of get a general gist, but it really doesn't cover anything. But yeah, no, we've had some crazy stuff to work on, and that's part of the fun. We always joke around about kind of leaving the space, but then it we always come back kicking and screaming, and then they give us something cool to work on. Ooh, this is fun.
Yeah, exactly. What would be your advice to any recruiter looking to get into GovCon?
It is complex. You definitely have to learn the space. But the thing is, once you learn the space, you can really make a career in it.
Okay.
It is also a tough industry to be a headhunter in. So you got to figure out how, like, you got to learn to work with the market. You got to learn to have multiple different offerings rather than just a direct placement setup. Mm. And you also have to learn how to be a true consulting partner to many of these companies, because you're like, you are the expert when it comes to people.
Yes.
They might be the expert when it comes to a solution, and the government needs people for these solutions. So you work together with them to create a winning team.
Come together for that. Exactly. Very good advice. All right, Ben, I want to move on to another topic, which is your podcast, the Elite Recruiter Podcast. So tell us how you got into podcasting and what made you to go that route.
So I think there's two time periods where everybody's been starting a podcast. Back in 2020, when the world shut down and everyone's like, man, I could do a podcast. And then 2023 is when people start realizing the impact and the power of having a podcast.
Mm.
So looking back on 2020, when I started it, it was mostly, share some stories of like my peer group doing amazing things in the recruiting space, because it would probably help somebody like me back then when I was first starting out in my career. So that's really where it started. And then it kind of, did some episodes here, did some episodes there, learned about the technology. The technology is so much better now when it comes to podcasting than even 3 years ago. And then it started becoming a weird beast of its own where, it's really cool getting messages of like people, these guests that come on have this huge impact on these people's personal decisions, lives, and what they're doing. Like, so the podcast, like, we typically have a guest on every single week, and it's recruiters sharing their insights, what they're doing, what's going on in the market, and how they're winning, and just giving like a lot of actionable tips to help other recruiters out. And, it's been fun. It's a complete blessing. And, I really just, the goal is to highlight with the guests. And one of the cool things that you're learning about a podcasting, Tyler, is like, you're highlighting somebody else, but because you're highlighting somebody else, the light is also being shown back on you too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the podcasting, I enjoy it for, number one, I learn so much from guests like you, just hearing your experiences, what you've learned, your career, everything like that. It also helps the audience learn more, which is great. But then also too, it could be a business development tool for yourself as well. If you have a firm or some type of service that you provide, could be a recruiting tool as well. Can you shed any light on that in terms of like how a podcast could be used as like business development or potentially a recruiting tool?
So one of the coolest things about podcasting in 2023 is podcasting has evolved. Mm. Now, like, there's a few different things. One podcast interview can easily turn into 10 to 30 days worth of content. Mm. And in 2023 and 2024, content is king. Authentic content is king, yes. Especially in a world where everything's like now, like, semi-written by ChatGPT, Claude, or Bard. Like, people are starting to look like they're tired of the robot voices. They're looking for authentic voices, and having a podcast where you're interviewing somebody like, Tyler, it's an authentic voice that can now turn into 10 to 30 days of content.
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing this as a business development one, here's the route that I highly advise people to take. Whatever your niche is, build a podcast within that niche. Highlight the leaders in that niche. Invite the leaders onto your podcast. Because here's the biggest thing. Tyler, let me ask you a question. How many sales emails have you gotten this week? People trying to sell you stuff.
I don't know. I've lost count.
a lot, right?
Decent amount.
What about sales calls?
Maybe one or two. Not too many.
Have you like bought anything from those emails? Have you responded to most of those emails?
No.
But if somebody shot you an email and said, hey, I want to bring you on, I'd love to host you on the podcast talking about you being an industry expert, you being an industry leader, talking about your company and sharing like everything that your organization is doing, what would you say to that?
I would take definitely a double take at it, for sure. Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. I think because you're offering them something for free, it's exposure for them. It's content for them too,
It is like having them on a podcast is like a dream for their communications team. Something that they've been trying to do for forever is get more video, get more this. So you bring them onto the podcast, you talk with them about some of the stuff, you're highlighting their story, you're highlighting their company, you're letting them share. On the back end, like, you know, some of the things that you have is like your final five questions. Like, make one or two of those questions like actionable insights for other leaders in the space. But like, make one or two of those questions wrapped around recruiting.
Yeah,
they know that you're a recruiter. Fast forward, now you have a relationship with that company. Now you have a relationship with that leader. Now you're sharing, and you know, you can actually go back to them after a few weeks. Like, hey, I see you guys have like five openings. I'm here to support you. Like, relationship is already built compared to the 75th cold email and the 15th call that you've made. That they're just like, I'm getting called by every other recruiter. Guess what? Now you broke through the noise.
Yes.
And on top of that, so one of the powerful things about what I was talking about content is one podcast episode with that leader, you can throw that interview into a program like Opus Pro.
Love
or Opus Get Much. Pro. And what Opus Pro does is it like rips the video apart, creates like actionable clips that you can share on social media, and it transcribes, like it gives a transcription and tells you what to even post with it. So if you share that on LinkedIn, tag them. Now their entire peer network is seeing you. Like, they're seeing the leader that you're highlighting, but now you're now breaking into their peer group and their network too, which helps create you as an authority in the space, even if you're not the true authority. Like, you're creating authority in the space by shining the light on somebody else. And once again, because you're shining the light on somebody else, automatically the light is shined back on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you think of absolutely a huge business development tool. What about for the recruiting side too? Do you think it could help as far as bringing in candidates or maybe shedding light on an employer's brand if a company wanted to do their own podcast?
I mean, one of the cool things about this is like, I don't do my podcast in GovCon. I actually had a Web3 podcast and I actually used that as a BD play. So that's like, that was my MVP that way.
Okay.
But even though like my podcast talks nothing about government contracting, my government contracting circle on LinkedIn sees me in an omnipresent way constantly on LinkedIn. So there's so often I'm actually having conversations with leaders and they already know my story because I show up every single day into their feeds.
Yeah.
So they're like, it's many times, like it's a thing that has set me apart from so many other government contract recruiters out there because I've created this online persona where even though I'm bringing on some of the best recruiters, like I'm out there talking about recruiting. I'm out there like sharing about recruiting. So when they see me, they're like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've already seen your stuff. I can't tell you
he's how many expert. Times I trust him.
Yeah. I have had multiple calls with companies and like with managers and hiring like authorities. They're like, oh, I already know about you. And I'm like, I just looked up your email like 5 minutes ago and hit you up. I'm like, cool.
Cool. We go way back. But no, that's the power of a personal brand and podcasting, definitely a great tool to do that. So appreciate you shedding some light on that.
And real quick, before we go forward, like I think people think a podcast is like, it is a lot of work, but for many, it's too much of a barrier. And once you break it down, it's not that hard of a barrier to really do. Like a perfect example, Tyler, we're doing an interview on Zoom. On Zoom, you can actually pull the audio off it. You can like drop the audio in a program called Descript. It transcribes the entire podcast like a Word document, and you literally edit it like a Word document. Like, I am tech stupid, so there are amazing tools out there that can help you. So once you you edit it, I found my intro and outro on Fiverr for $15. Add that. And then if you go to Spotify for Podcasters, it's a free platform by Spotify. We'll get you set up with Spotify and teaches you how to get set up with everything else. You hop onto Canva, get some cover art, and literally just upload your podcast. And now you have a podcast. And because there's that barrier that people think that it's hard, you are now like an authority in the space.
Yeah, it's totally very low barrier to entry. Definitely probably less than what you think there is. Absolutely. So Ben, you started this podcast and you're interviewing the best recruiters in the space. I mean, I've seven-figure billers, agency owners, experts in their respective industries. You had to have learned something doing this. So shed some light on what you've learned constitutes or makes up an elite recruiter?
I would say some of the biggest things is like a consistent work ethic day in, day out. And like, yes, like I feel like everybody that is probably listening to that, they're like just probably rolled their eyes and they're like, okay, I get it. But there are many days that you see like average recruiters, they pack it up like halfway through, or they're like, you know, their analysis paralysis or thinking too much. Mm. The top recruiters, top agency owners, they're about action. They think a lot, but it's about action. Mm. Even if it's just like, you know, I got to hit XYZ amount of calls per day. They like have their goals built out. They have what they're chasing to do. They have a plan. They work their plan every single day.
Yeah.
Another thing, what I'm seeing a lot of top recruiters, and most of them don't know that they're actually doing this. They've built a brand. Mm. So it's like, at least me personally, I didn't really want to put myself out there. I just want to be known by the placements that I made and the hard work that I did. And a lot of top recruiters are like that, but and they live off like the referrals and like live on off people that they've had those previous relationships with. But you start digging into some of these people and they didn't realize that they created a brand around themselves. Mm. And they're doing all these little additional things extra, like hopping on like a podcast or creating an industry podcast or writing a book. There's so many. I've had some conversations with recruiters that do zero business development and they haven't done business development for years. And it's because they've built a brand. It's because they're speaking at events. It's because they're doing like industry stuff that they're not thinking is business development, but they've created this massive ecosystem of them being an authority with inbound stuff. And you like, if you're just getting started, that you have to put in the work, and they're putting in the work every day. Like Scott Love, one of my buddies, I absolutely love him, lives like 5 minutes down the road. He has an industry podcast for the legal, like in the legal field for partners. Okay. He speaks at industry events. He'll fly across the country and speak at industry events. Mm. And plus he talks about his phone time. Like he has phone time goals every single day.
Does he? Okay.
And you know, multiple seven-figure years.
Wow.
But it's creating like the great recruiters. Oh, and like Rich Rosen, absolutely love him. Like he's amazing. He's such a giver in the community. But when you hear the word Rich Rosen as a recruiter, what do you think? You think million-dollar biller.
I hear Rich.
But here's the thing, like digging into Rich's conversation, mm-hmm. he every day when he starts his day, he knows the 50 people that he's going to reach out to.
Mm.
How many recruiters at the very beginning of their day know exactly who they're reaching out to for that entire day? Most of the time, recruiters are like spending the day trying to figure out who to reach out to and reach out to him that. And that takes time. So like one of the conversations I had with him is like, you know, sometimes in the evenings, he's actually working, like he'll be watching football, but he's actually building his list. Mm. But the thing is, he doesn't look at that as actual work. That's not his work time. That's just, this is part of being like, it's a habit that he's created. It's a habit that's helped him see success and, you know, almost a seven-figure year every single year.
Yeah, that's a huge takeaway. Planning your day is immensely important. Scott Love done, build a brand, attend those industry events. I think it's both very important, right? Because I actually spoke with Rich when I first launched my firm too. Again, super helpful, right? Just willing to hop on the phone. So thank you, Rich, if you're listening. But yeah, I think maximizing your phone time is absolutely key, especially with talking to candidates and, you know, business development too. That's always a short-term thing, but then long-term, building a brand, right? Whether that's for the candidate side or the biz dev side. Can you shed any light in terms of what best practices you should be taking right now to build a brand, to have a better hiring presence, whether that's on the candidate side or the biz dev side?
I mean, one of the things like you can like have do a Zoom interview, mm. like what we're doing now. So if you hear this on the podcast, like I'm sure Tyler is going to pop this on YouTube, do a Zoom interview with a leader. And then you can actually, you know, like I said, use Opus Pro, let Opus Pro cut up, give you some clips and start sharing that online. And the thing is you can share something like five times throughout the year. Nobody's going to point out to you and be like, oh, look, you shared something last week. No. But like building that brand and like social selling is, it's going to help you while you're putting in the day in, day out work. Mm.
Absolutely. For sure. And then Ben, speaking with all of these expert recruiters. Have you learned anything as far as what they're using, tools, technology to source these candidates? Because at the end of the day, you're not going to become a seven-figure biller if you're not making placements. So they're doing something right that I'm sure even a hiring manager listening could take notes on. So what have you learned as far as their sourcing and their recruiting strategies?
I mean, it's all over the place. Like you start digging in with some people and they actually have teams behind them of researchers and VAs actually putting together the list for them. You have other ones that have just been in the space for so long. They've done such a good job. One of them actually has his entire Create is built out, and Create is an ATS system on jobs, where they're at, what they do, and certifications. He could literally get a new job, click one button and have an active list ready to go for every time he gets a new job, because he's spent that much time perfecting his system. So there's all these cool little things like that. I learned because of podcasts, I learned about an organization called Seekout, and Seekout is a great tool, but it's amazing in the cleared space because they actually use AI and machine learning to figure out who might actually have a security clearance. Would never that's have known huge. That if it wasn't. Another one that's kind of amazing right now that I found out because of podcasting is BetterLeap. So BetterLeap actually, once you start training them on how to find or what candidate you like, it'll actually start finding 15 candidates for you per day. And so you start the day with people ready to go based on the AI of what you're looking for. Also, on top of that, unlimited contacts.
That's big.
It's not like you're maxed out at 100, 200, it's literally unlimited on a monthly basis.
Wow. Wow. And then from your podcast too, even I've learned, People GPT, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
Chat GPT, there's a People GPT. Create is the CRM I use. Go ahead.
Yeah. People GPT, if you've used Chat GPT, you literally type into People GPT, you're typing into Chat GPT, and it uses their algorithm and their machine learning to find the people. And the cool thing is, it doesn't just find the people. It actually has their contact information. It will write a personalized email to them.
That's
big. Based on all the data they have.
Yes. I've been using it, Ben. I know. It's good. So yes, those are great tools. Seek out, People GPT, BetterLeap was the other one that you mentioned.
Yeah, right? BetterLeap is another one I'm having fun with right now.
Awesome. Great sourcing tools. But as we know, and as Chris Wessel mentioned on our first episode here,
I love Chris. Chris is awesome.
Chris is awesome. Shout out to Chris. You could have the best list in the world. I'm going to try to quote him. You have the best list in the world, but if you don't know how to convert them and the right messaging, then what is that going to mean? Right. So what is your advice, or what have you learned from these great recruiters as far as how do you correctly market a role? Any words of wisdom there?
So it's going to be two. One is going to be from the recruiter standpoint, and one's going to be from the manager standpoint. And every manager listening, your job as a manager isn't just to manage. Your job is also to be a recruiter. Don't rely on your recruiter to do your recruiting. Your team being filled is literally your responsibility, and you need to be a recruiter. You need to have that recruiter hat on for That's the big. Rest of your career. So fast forwarding back to your question about recruiters. It's really just we have all this wonderful automation tools, but you need to find a way to mirror the automation tools with personalization. And you can use personalization at scale. A good way to do it is have your list, spend some time looking on their LinkedIn profiles, adding a little bit of a section where it's personalized per person. There are some tools that are I give it by the end of this year, and there's going to be tools that are going to be at scale can help you do that. Another great way is to do video messaging, make a Loom or, use SendSpark, create a video message and personally send that to them. Fast forward, give us by the end of the year. There's a lot of tools that I'm playing with that actually you can do videos at scale using artificial intelligence, where it's I make one video, Tyler, I'm reaching out to 10 people, but I make a quick segment and I can literally plug in the spreadsheet and it will use my voice and change the name to Tyler. So it sounds like it's going directly to you, but I just hit multiple people up.
What tool is that? You got to shed some light on that one.
There's actually like five of them right now. Like what I'll do is I'll like for the listeners, I will send Tyler a list of those. You have to go look in the show notes.
Okay. I'll put it in the show notes then.
So one of the things I've learned about podcasting, nobody really looks at the show notes. So now I'm forcing people to look at Tyler's show notes.
Okay. And my show notes have been very brief. So this is going to be jam packed with Ben's information. So awesome. No, that's huge. Okay. We'll put that in there.
But now flipping over to the managers to answer your question is, yes. Like I said, they need to also know that they are interviewing you and you need to treat it like that. Mm. And you need to like explain like how, especially with this younger crowd, and they want to feel important. They want to feel a mission. They don't want to just like do what the baby boomers did and just grind away.
And one job, 40 years.
for the gold watch. And then at the end of the day, they want to make an impact. And here's the biggest thing. Like these people know that you're interviewing, and this is also probably you, but when you have your manager hat, you completely forget this. Companies at the end of the day, are not your family. Like all they need to do is make it many companies. What we've seen over this last year, they made a decision based on a spreadsheet. And no matter how good you were, there are some of the best people out there that still got let go because it was just their name on a spreadsheet. And that's all that mattered. Hmm. So everybody now, this isn't the days where people could stay at one place forever. So you need to create a way and create a mission and have that as part of the interview process. And when you're reaching out to people that like, hey, we're on this mission together and we're going to be in this fight together. But also managers, don't be afraid to go reach out to people directly. Like if you see somebody that could be an impact on your team, send them a message. It blows my mind how many managers are afraid to send a message. Like at the end of the day, it's your team. You are responsible for building your team.
Yeah, that's a really good tip for managers. Don't rely solely on your recruiter. If you see
pause. If Tyler or me are your recruiters, rely on us.
Yes, absolutely. If I am recruiting for you, do not message anybody. No, do what you need to do, right? If you see, I try to use analogies all the time, but like fishing, right? If you see the fish is in the water, cast the line. Don't wait for the other guy next to you to do it, right? Like you got to try to do what you got to do. And if it's your responsibility, which if it's your team, it is, then yeah, go for it.
And it's a conversation I have in the GovCon space. You know, there's no reason, honestly, there's no reason for a recruiter to have a TSSCI full scope poly or a CI poly. Like there isn't at the end of the day. It's mostly just to look at some proposal and be like, okay, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to recruiting some of these highly clear talent, some of these managers have the availability to walk around these buildings. Like they're able to walk around the CIA. They're able to walk around the NSA, like DIA, all these places. They're seeing the teams. I've had to train so many managers over the year. It's okay to say hi to somebody. It's okay to recruit yourself because you're sitting in that building. You have access to that person that's trying to stay hidden from us recruiters. At the end of the day, it's your program and your team. So I've done a lot of training in the space with hiring managers to help use their own network to help fill the programs and the teams that they have.
Hmm. Absolutely. And any words of wisdom or advice for using your already established network? Should we be posting? Should we be sending voice notes? I mean, how do we tap into our current network?
I mean, one of the biggest things is who are you working with? Who's your working peers? If they're on LinkedIn, see them post something on LinkedIn, hit that like button. If you don't feel like sending them a message, hit their like button, make a comment. If they made a post about even a change, hey, congratulations on this. Then maybe shoot them a DM hey, congratulations on this new opportunity. Love to chat one time. Or if you ever need anything in the future, let me know.
Yeah.
It's so often it's these little things that take time. And secret weapon. If you have their address, send them a postcard.
Postcard in 2023.
This is 2023, 2024. People are looking for authenticity. Mm. Postcards are the secret weapon. And you can find their address. Like if you see a peer that's made a job change, send them a postcard. Yeah. If it's somebody that you definitely want, like in your circle down the road, hop on True People Search, look up their address, look up their name. You have their current address. Send them a postcard. And you're going to love this, Tyler. You can even use a robot with an actual pen to write the postcard, and it gets put in the mail. So it's actually written by a pen, written with an actual pen, but it's written by a robot. Like I can't read my own handwriting. So I use a website called HandyWritten. I will hop in there, type it up, and literally hit go, add in their address, and the robot writes up on the postcard, writes up like this amazing note. It's handwritten because it's written by a pen, and it gets mailed to them.
Anyone listening is going to be right after those show notes after this, because we are going to have to put all of these pieces of technology.
Gold. And don't be afraid to like put that in your recruiting structure too. Like, you know, in your BD structure, like you have to find ways to be different. You have to find ways to break through the noise. And the problem is right now, as we're looking at 2024, everybody has the ability with artificial intelligence to make noise. So you have to find ways to break through it. Mm. And sometimes it's old school ways.
It is. Absolutely. Authenticity wins. Wow, Ben, this has been very, very impactful, very, very informative. I'm sure the listeners can agree. We are almost at time, so I just want to give you the final word, final thoughts. Anything else you want to give our listeners as far as what you've learned, any strategies for recruitment, retention, development? Floor is yours.
I think the biggest thing is find out what works for you. Try different things. Put in the work. If you're working somewhere, one of the biggest things is, win there and then find ways to redesign everything. But like I have conversations with 7-figure billers that are like, they're on the phone 4 hours a day. And then I've had conversations with 7-figure billers that are on the phone almost 0 hours per day. And they're not using automated tools. Mm. So you got to figure out what your strengths are and build your personal systems around those strengths while you're still putting in that work week in and week out.
Very, very good. We'll leave it on that, Ben. Appreciate you coming on. Everybody listening, you have now learned how to become an elite recruiter. And if you're listening to this podcast, I highly encourage you to check out Ben's The Elite Recruiter podcast. I will include in the show notes a link to his LinkedIn where you could connect with him on there. Anywhere else you want them to reach you, Ben?
I am, depending on when this goes live, I am going to be kicking up a community for the Elite Recruiter podcast. And we're, get a chance to hang out with other recruiters. We're actually going to start a book club too, cool. Fun stuff like that. But really just I want to create an environment where people can get together, kind of see what other problems and challenges are people doing with it. And just a place for people to win all together.
Love it. Love the community building. And that's one great thing about the recruitment community is everyone tries to lend a helping hand. So,
And real quick, my podcast isn't the end all be all. There are so many amazing places where you can go and learn like this podcast with Tyler. I definitely click the like and subscribe because Tyler is going to be putting out some amazing stuff. But find somebody that resonates with you. Find some even if it's some guests that can make the impact and start following them. In this world, you can create digital mentors without technically them mentoring you, but you can learn so much from the people out there. So and they say that you become the 5 closest people that you hang out with. Guess what? In today's world, you can digitally hang out with 5 people and learn from them and absorb what they're doing and become better yourself.
That's it. Absolutely. Get yourself some digital mentors. You could start out with this podcast. Definitely subscribe. And then definitely subscribe to Ben's as well. So appreciate you coming on. Till next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Let's Talk Talent podcast. We hope you walked away with some actionable advice that you can implement in your organization to better recruit, retain, or develop talent. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a rating. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next one.